What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Finberg, and today's episode is going to be another one of those preseason game recaps. I posted one of these right after the Wizards' lopsided loss to Toronto and Montreal on Sunday night. We're back again a couple of days later for another lopsided loss. This time, really, the only difference is it was in America versus Canada. The Wizards faced the Knicks tonight at the time of recording this Wednesday night at 7:30. Another showing of lazy defense, poor passes leading to turnovers, bad transition defense, just a really sloppy showing from this team. It's not something that you'd like to see at the beginning of the season when most guys should be back in really good shape, but that's what they're using preseason for. It looks like a lot of the guys are using it to get back in shape. They're using it to kind of figure out some of the kinks that are in their game. And you're going to see some struggles, especially from a young team like the Wizards. So again, no reason to panic, but definitely cause for some concern. The Wizards starters were the same tonight as they were against Toronto. And if you missed it, Malcolm Brogdon is expected to miss around 4 to 6 weeks with a torn ligament in his right thumb. He got surgery for it. The Wizards haven't released a timeline, but Anthony Simons last October went through a similar thing, got the same surgery, and I think he missed around 4 to 6 weeks. That was at least the timeline they gave him to recover. So I'd expect Brogdon to be back maybe in late November, early December, around that time. So this is the starting five the Wizards are going to roll with. Poole at the point guard, Coulibaly at the two, Kuzma, Sarr, and Valanciunas to round out the group. A lot of size, not much shooting, and not much defense. So, there's a lot of concern within that group. But look, in terms of a couple of things, getting into the game itself, a couple of things I noticed early on. Number one, Bilal Coulibaly started the game guarding Jalen Brunson. I mean, Bilal is 6'8". He's, a shooting guard, but also kind of plays small forward. And he's guarding, I don't know how tall Brunson is. He's got to be like 6'1", 6 foot maybe. He's pretty small, but he's their best player, easily. And the Wizards were like, all right, early on, we're going to set the tone. We're going to put our best defender on your best player. Now, did that work out? No. And it doesn't work out for many, many people that try to guard Jalen Brunson. He's unbelievable. He had Bilal with some like half spin and then spun back, went left and drove. It was one of the grossest moves I've ever seen. Completely fooled Bilal. But again, like, did Bilal hold his own? No, but like, did he get cooked? No, like it wasn't like that. It was just Jalen Brunson's really good. This is what he does to most defenders. I was just happy to see that the Wizards are confident enough in Bilal to give him that assignment, because that sets the precedent moving forward that, look, even if it's a guard, even if it's a forward, Bilal is going to take that assignment if he's the best player. So I like seeing that trust from Brian Keefe and the coaching staff to give him that early tough assignment on Brunson. And the second thing, Alex Sarr got the game going with a nice backdoor cut. Alex's cuts, movement off ball, that's something that has been, swept under the rug, but it's something I've noticed through two preseason games. Is he's pretty smart moving without the ball in his hands. Case in point, Valanciunas got the ball at the block, or at the top of the key, sorry. Sarr had a defender on his back, cut back door, got a nice pocket pass from JV, and put it in for a dunk. And that started a pretty solid night for Sarr. 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks. I think he was 2 of 6 from 3. So, like, a 33% clip for a 7-footer is fairly solid, especially a guy who's only 19. That to go with an all right shooting performance, I think it was 5 of 12, maybe 5 of 14. So, like, not the best interior shooting performance, but, 33% mark for Sarr from 3 is something I would definitely take. So, I thought he was pretty solid, especially early on. But again, another slow start. The Wizards started down 16-4. I mean, they were outscored 34-16 last time out in Toronto. Really never recovered. But then in this case, Brian Keefe calls a timeout. The Wizards go on a 14-0 run. And the catalysts for that run weren't the starters. It was two bench guys. It was Keyshawn George and Corey Kispert. George entered the game, really first defensive possession, forced the jump ball. The Wizards got possession. He then drained a transition three. That capped the 10-0 Wizards run. And legit, I tweeted that, and then I had to retweet on top of that, because the very next play, he grabbed a steal, took it coast to host with a sick behind the back move, and laid it in. I mean, he's legit. He was the best player on the floor easily for the Wizards tonight. And I don't think it's a stretch to say He's been the best player through two preseason games, the most consistent, both offensively and defensively. I think it's easy to see why the Wizards traded up to take him. Only two spots, gave up a second, but that's why, because he was a hot commodity. He had gone, fallen farther than I'm sure a lot of people thought, and the Wizards were like, we got to get this guy. And so far, it's paying off because I think he's looked tremendous. He's been the Wizards' best player by far throughout the first two games. The Wizards go on a 14-0 run, end the quarter up three, really solid showing. If you look at the bench versus the starters in the first quarter, Wizards starters, 6 points on 3 of 15 from the floor, six turnovers. Wizards bench, 16 points on 7 of 9 field goal, zero turnovers. The reason for that is I thought Kyle Kuzma came out really slow. And look, I'm not here to, pick on people, but he looks like he doesn't want to be there. It's really just like lackadaisical running up and down the floor. I'm here to kind of get my cardio going and get loose, and it's just not a good look. It's not looked good. He looks like he's using preseason to get into shape instead of using the offseason to get into shape and then using the preseason to propel him into prime shape, if that makes sense. Like, he just, again, he didn't look like he wanted to be there. It was pretty known. Kuz, I think he was 1 for 4 tonight, 1 of 7 against Toronto. So that's a 2 of 11 start. Granted, I think he only played the first half in both games for the most part, but still, 2 of 11 start. A couple turnovers here and there, not being dominant on the glass, pretty lazy defense. And I've seen a lot of Wizards fans, be pretty frustrated with what they've seen, and I can't blame them for it too, because it has been frustrating. Again, the guy seems like he's not really trying. And that's never what you want to see, especially from the guy that led your team in scoring, wants to be that leader on the team. You've seen nothing. And look, it's preseason. There's no reason to panic, obviously. But Kuzma has not looked good. Now, to talk about why the Wizards bench was so good in the first quarter, two guys, Corey Kispert and Keyshawn George. I already talked about George, so I want to talk about Kispert. Corey Kispert arguably has been the most consistent Wizard over the last couple years, especially over this year, last year, sorry, and to start preseason, he's been there, doing exactly what you expect of him, making threes. He shot 2 of 5 from deep against the Knicks, driving to the rim, and that's something that's gotten so much better for Corey Kispert last year and to start this year. He can put the ball on the deck, with a pump fake, get by the defender. He shields off the guy on his back to make sure it doesn't get blocked, and finishes finally around the rim. That's something that he couldn't do in year one or year two. In year three, he exploded and was just unbelievable in all areas of the game offensively, and he's showing that same type of improvement in year four. So Corey Kispert, hit a three, made a layup. Keyshawn George, sorry, was really solid with 5 points as well. So, they kind of led the way. And look, the Wizards were up three at the end of one, pretty solid showing. At the end of one, there was actually a play, and my guy Bijan Todd tweeted this out, so you can go and watch it on his Twitter. But it was a play where Sar set a nice little screen for Bub. He took it left, to the left elbow. The big showed, so Bub went left to right cross. And then got into the paint with a Euro, and it was a tough lay over Jericho Sims, but he got the short floater to go at the buzzer, and that was one of the best, if not the best, play I saw from Bub tonight. Bub also poured in at the start of the second quarter, nothing but net, just rose up, spot up three, no dribble, very confident shooting stroke, and that was a really good stretch from Bub. That was kind of his only stretch. He was kind of quiet outside of that. But it kind of flashed the I can get to the rim with the best of them, and I can also, knock it down from deep. And obviously the fact that Sar's featured in it, setting the screen, getting the assist, that's also big as well to see that connection. So, that was the first quarter. The second quarter wasn't as good for the Wizards. I mean, look, 16 turnovers at halftime is atrocious for any team, even in the preseason. Let alone 30 turnovers overall that the Wizards had. And we'll talk about that later. But the Wiz, pretty abysmal second quarter. Got outscored by 18 points, went into the half down 54 to 39. So 15-point deficit after leading by three after one. So not an ideal quarter. But nonetheless, you saw decent things from Kispert. George was phenomenal. Bub Carrington, flashed a couple things. Alex Sarr drilled a three, had 5 rebounds at half and 2 blocks. So The three rookies looked okay. Jordan Poole, 8 points, three assists, did have three turnovers at halftime. So again, it wasn't a six assists, zero turnover game for Poole like it was in Toronto. It was a lot more sloppy, a lot of what we kind of saw from Jordan Poole last season and what you're trying to avoid with Jordan Poole moving into a starting point guard role this season. But the turnovers were pretty bad. I mean, at the 9:36 mark of the third quarter, the Wizards had 20 turnovers. That's like a bad game in the regular season. If you have 20 turnovers, like you deserve to lose. The Wizards basically did that in a half plus like 2 minutes. That's horrific. That's lazy passes, you know, a lack of care on offense, being sloppy with the ball, not being in the right spots, missing your guys, missing your open guys, and forcing things. It's a combination of all that. And to have 20 turnovers in the preseason with 9:36 left in the third quarter, it's not a good look, and it's not a good look for what to expect from this team the rest of the season in terms of, you know, trying to avoid those unforced errors. There was a play in the third where Bilal, and look, I thought Bilal tonight showed you like he's a solid defender, and obviously you had a great showing from him that first game against Toronto in terms of his offense, but he kind of showed why you can't get too excited right now and why it's a really long process with a guy like him, because he came out tonight and shot 1 of 9 from the field, missed all four threes, you know, 4 points. He was a minus 17. He had five fouls. The one positive from Bilal was he had nine boards, which you always want to see a guy like Bilal. He's put on weight, added 10 pounds, you know, grew 2 inches. He's gotten bigger, and that'll help him when he's fighting down low for boards, as seen here with nine, nearly double figure rebounds. But every other area of the game, especially offensively, was kind of brutal for him, and you're gonna have shooting nights like that. I mean, Jordan Poole shot 4 of 13. Shar was 5 of 14. You're never gonna have, you know, all you're never always gonna have your shot. But what you can do on those nights outside of contributing, that's what makes great players great. And for Bilal to still grab nine boards, I thought he was pretty solid on defense. You know, that's kind of a bit of a positive. But nonetheless, I mean, looking at his shooting numbers, it wasn't a great night for Bilal. There's not much else to really, no other way to twist it. He didn't play that well, and that's going to happen. But what I do like is it was a really intriguing first showing, and he did some good things outside of his offense tonight, to where obviously it's not full-blown panic. It should never be full-blown panic mode with Bilal, but obviously not the greatest of showings. So again, Bilal, a lot of room to improve, obviously, but not the best shooting performance. I mean, I tweeted this out, and I'm talking about Keyshawn George a lot, and I understand that, but deservedly so if you watch this game or if you look at the box score. Because I tweeted this out, I think at the end of the third, when I knew George probably wasn't coming back in, I said, I don't think it's a stretch to say Keyshawn George has been the Wizards' best player through two preseason games. He's been draining threes, defending at a high level, and the best part is that he's doing it consistently. You know, at that point, he was up to 10 points on 4-4 field goal, 2 of 2 from three. It was a great start for him. Eventually, he got that up to 14 points. But again, I was just so impressed. This is a final stat line from Keyshawn George in his second NBA game. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 5 of 6 from the field, 2 of 2 from 3, 3 blocks, 1 steal. That's your number 24 pick. You had three draft picks in the first round this year. That's your third one, the latest one. And he's been your best player. And it's not like he's only been the best player because Alex Saar and Bob Carrington haven't been great. They've been really solid themselves. But at the end of the day, it's awesome to see a guy like George, you know, shine like this. Come out relatively unknown out of Miami. Not a lot of people are hyping up his draft stock, but the Wizards saw something in him. They traded up for him, and he's kind of making it look like a great move. And I know there's a long way to go. I know it's the preseason, and I shouldn't get ahead of myself, and I'm not going to. But I think it's important to point out how impressive the start has been for George, because he's shooting it efficiently. He shot 48% from three in summer league, 52% from the field in summer league. Defended at a high level and shot, you know, shot well, and that's all carried over into preseason against NBA competition. So, I mean, obviously you're not going to declare him the steal of the draft yet, but there's definitely reason for optimism amongst Wizards fans. Like, this guy can ball. And, you know, for the Wizards to get him that late, it shows obviously that Dawkins and Winger know what they're doing when they're, you know, in terms of the draft. But it also shows that this thing is going to take a while, but the Wizards do have some really fun and intriguing pieces already in-house. And I think that's what we're going to start to see more of this year. Some big pop-off performances from their rookies, second-year players, younger guys that, could hopefully reignite and reinvigorate this fan base to kind of be excited about something. So, really impressed with that. Final stats, I mentioned George had 14 points, 3 blocks. Sar, 12 points, 9 rebounds, 3 blocks. So that was pretty solid. Drained a couple threes, 5 of 14. So interior scoring is still an issue. Had a couple bunnies around the rim that he missed, but those will fall. I thought he got some good looks. 3 blocks as well. So clearly still, rim protecting like he should. Kispert poured in 14. I thought he was really good. Kuz struggled, obviously. Poole, 4 of 13, 10 points. He was not that good. A couple turnovers as well. If I'm checking the box score, Jordan Poole, 1 of 7 from three. He had 4 assists, but 5 turnovers. He was a minus 22. So yeah, not great. The whole starting five, if I'm being honest, wasn't that good. I mean, JV was terrible. I mean, a minus 28 in 19 minutes. That's abysmal. He had 4 points, 4 rebounds, 5 fouls. So like he, again, I said this last game with JV, I've been really disappointed with the defense. And I guess maybe my expectations going in were too high for him as a defender. I guess I was excited that we wouldn't get bullied down low by guys like Embiid. That would just, it wouldn't be fair. I think JV can body up to them, but in terms of extending out to the elbow and the 3-point line, I don't think he can. He seems pretty sluggish and slow. My guy Damo tweeted out that he's using the preseason to get in shape, not entering the preseason in shape. And I think that was a pretty good observation. I mean, he looks slow. He doesn't really look like what I expected him to look like, and maybe that's my expectations being too high, or maybe I'm based in that thinking. But I thought he wasn't great. I'm just gonna call it out as he is. He missed both his threes. Again, a minus 28 in 19 minutes. It's not good. I mean, Sar was a minus 25, Kuz minus 22, Poole minus 22, Bilal minus 17. That's not good. And then you look at the bench, every single person is positive except Champagny and Bagley. So, and Johnny Davis, I guess. But the bench was great and the starters weren't. And that was kind of the theme of tonight's game. Obviously, if you look at the Knicks side, Cat popped off. I mean, they've got a squad. They've got a really talented, deep roster, especially the starters. And obviously, you don't expect the Wizards to win the game, but when you turn the ball over 30 times, you make it a lot more difficult to win the game. And that's what the frustrating part of tonight was. The Wizards just shot themselves in the foot, and it didn't need to happen. I thought that there were some really great moments. But the 30 turnovers is gonna, overshadow all of that. It's gonna put a dark cloud on all that because it's not just this game. I mean, Toronto, there was a lot of turnovers as well. So when you combine the two, it's clearly a theme. It's clearly something that needs to be addressed. And hopefully it will be addressed by the start of the season. So I kind of last one, last pod, I went through every individual on the team and talked about their performance. I wanted to give more of like my overall thoughts and analysis before doing that. I feel like I already talked about all the starters, so I'm going to move on. One of the storylines that I noticed was that after not playing at all against Toronto, Rashawn Holmes was the first center off the bench. I thought that was pretty important because I mean, the DMP against Toronto wasn't injury related. Brian Keefe said before the Brogdon injury, there was no injuries on the team. They were fully healthy. It was just a standard DMP. And Bagley got a bulk of minutes against Toronto. I thought he looked really good, actually. Really active on the glass, made his layups. I thought he was decent at, defending the rim. And then you go into this game, and Holmes, not Bagley, is the first off the bench. I thought Holmes was pretty solid. He had a putback layup, played decent defense. I thought he was all right. But then, he really didn't do much after that. I think maybe he had one small spell in the third, but like only a couple minutes, because he only had 8 minutes overall. But I thought he was great in those minutes. 2 points, 6 rebounds, 2 of which are offensive rebounds. Got a steal in there, was a +8 in those 8 minutes. Made, one of his two field goal attempts. So like I thought Rashawn Holmes played solid. It's just he didn't play enough for my liking. Marvin Bagley, pretty much the same, 9 minutes, but he had 2 points, was a -8, and had 2 rebounds. So again, in terms of who played better in that competition, Bagley, obviously, in the first game, because he was the only one that played, and he did play well. And then looking at this game, Obviously, Holmes is the first center off the bench, but ends up playing slightly less than Bagley. But I did think Holmes was a lot better in his minutes. So, to me, if I'm going to make any key takeaway from what I just said, I think Bagley is probably a slight leader in the doghouse to be that backup center. But I was a little taken aback by the fact that Holmes came off the bench first as opposed to Bagley, especially after getting a DMP. So that's definitely something to monitor, the competition for the backup center behind JV between Bagley and Holmes. Right now, I'd say Bagley's probably got a slight lead, but I think they'll use the last three preseason games to kind of figure that one out. Tristan Vucevic only 6 minutes. Again, efficient, 2 of 3, 4 points. He was a +4, but again, no rebounds, so didn't really do anything on the glass, which is what was my, one of my key takeaways is his lack of presence on, down low on the glass. Doesn't really put a body on anybody. Isn't your traditional center, which is why I think he's more of a forward, more of a four. Two personal fouls. There was, I mean, if you watch the game, and it's tough to look at the box score and for me to tell you that he didn't play that well. And it goes for last game as well, because he was 4 of 4 with 10 points. And I was like, I had people saying, oh, what are your thoughts on Vucevic? I thought he played great, when I thought he was arguably the worst player during that stretch. So again, it's the defense. I mean, the ball gets down low on him, it's barbecue chicken. Like, there's no resistance from him at the rim. He's too skinny, he's too slender. He needs to add a lot more weight if he wants to be bumping guys down low. So again, the rebounding, or the lack thereof of rebounding, is an issue. And the defensive struggles, lack of strength and all that, that's also an issue. Nobody is saying anything about Vucevic's offensive game. I think he's terrific on offense. He has a decent 3-point shot. He's efficient in that scoring, role as a stretch four. But the defense and the rebounding are concerns, and that's why he's in the G League. He's on a two-way, and he's going to have to add some weight. And he's going to have to figure out some of the defensive, struggles, figure out how to put a body on somebody and rebound. But again, those are my takeaways on Vucevic. It's going to be tough to hear that if you're just box score watching. But for my people that endure that blowout and watch this game with me, I think you'd understand where I'm coming from. Patrick Bowman Jr., I'm actually excited to talk about, because he was really good. I talked about him in the first game. I said I wasn't moved. I was indifferent. I really didn't think he showed me why he should make it, but he also didn't show me why he shouldn't make it. Tonight, he kind of showed me why he should make it. 7 minutes only, so really played pretty garbage time, I guess, in the fourth, but he was good. And it's not how many minutes you get, it's what you do with those minutes. And I thought he did a great job with those minutes. 8 points on 3 of 4 from the field. Made both of his threes, so 2 of 2 from deep. One rebound, was a +2. So, like, again, not like, limited sample size, but a good showing from PBJ. And the shot looked good. He created his own shot off the dribble and drained a three. Made a nice layup down low. I thought he looked really good. And yeah, I mean, there's not much else to say. I was pretty impressed. For a guy, fringe roster spot guy like PBJ, I think he kind of helped his stock as much as he could, in such a limited playing role. And I think he'll get a lot more minutes as the preseason goes on, as the starters play less and the bench guys play more. But in terms of solid showings, I think he had one tonight. I already talked about George and Kispert off the bench. Don't want to, harp on them too much, but both were phenomenal. 14 points each. Both made 5 field goals. Both made 2 threes. I thought they were great. Champagne played 17 minutes, 5 points, but it was a -12. Again, I didn't think he was particularly good. Jared Butler, 7 minutes, 4 points, 4 assists. Like, again, Butler's a great point guard. He's going to get his teammates involved. But again, it's the small sample size that kind of tells me, if I'm looking at a broader perspective and a broader approach, Bob Carrington's this team's backup point guard. Jared Butler is this team's third string point guard. I think Butler definitely makes the team, but again, it's pretty evident with, Bob Carrington playing 18 minutes, a lot more than Butler for the second straight game. It seems like that's going to be Bub's role at, backing up JP, and Butler will fill in as that third string. It was nice to see Jalen Nowell get some run, because I'm a fan of him. I've always liked his game. He was a +6, but again, there's not really much to talk about with excuse me, with 4 minutes of play. And again, I think you'll see a lot more of him, a lot more of the guys that you're not seeing a lot of in the latter part of the preseason. But I can't really make a judgment or analysis on a guy that played 4 minutes at the end of the game. You know what I mean? And the same goes for Johnny Davis. And I was pretty disappointed to see after such a really, strong showing from Johnny, for him to play 6 minutes and really pretty much non-competitive minutes in this game. The game was already out of reach. I didn't like that. And this is one of the issues I've had with the Wizards for so long with Johnny Davis is like, yeah, he hasn't been great. He hasn't played up to the standards of a top 10 pick, but you got to give him a chance. And it's been for far too long that Johnny Davis will get, decent minutes in 2 to 3 games and then just falls off the face of the earth and maybe only plays garbage time. How are you going to expect a guy to get in a rhythm to figure things out when you aren't giving him consistent minutes that he's kind of earning when you're giving them to him? After a 10-point performance, pretty solid showing at that, made a nice three, look really comfortable, played great defense. You give him 6 minutes. He makes his only field goal. He grabs two boards, gets an assist. Has 2 points. Like, what are we doing? Let's play him. We're not playing for anything in preseason if I'm the Wizards. You got killed again. Like, play the guys that you are analyzing and assessing to maybe make this team instead of the guys like Kuzma, that don't even really feel like they want to be there. I mean, Kuz got 24 minutes. I'm fine with him sitting out the preseason if that's how he's going to look. I'd rather just delegate those minutes to anybody else on the team. I'd rather see other people. I know what Kyle Kuzma is. I know what Jordan Poole is. I know what Valanciunas is. I don't know what Bilal is or Saric, so they can stay in the starting five. And I know you have a competition between Bagley and Holmes, so they can play. And then play anybody else. Play the young guys. I'd rather see that. And I think that's something that I think Wizards fans would echo, a precedent they'd agree with, is we know what those guys in the starting lineup are. Why are we watching them, struggle in the preseason? Let's watch other guys that we don't know too much about. Let them develop. These are key minutes for a lot of guys. And to see them delegated to the starting five when they look, that bad, it's not fun. And I don't really think it's optimal. I don't think it's the best thing to do. I think I'd rather give those minutes elsewhere, delegate them to people who need them more. So again, not happy with how little John Davis played. The last guy's Bub Carrington, 18 minutes, 5 points, 6 rebounds. So again, the rebounding for Bub is great. 0 assists, not ideal from your point guard. 3 turnovers as well. So not a great showing from Bub. 2 of 6 from the field, 1 of 4 from three. So okay efficiency wise. But again, he's kind of figuring it out against NBA competition. I'm not worried at all. To be completely clear, not worried at all. But again, like, I'm not gonna hype him up. I'm also not gonna like start panicking. Like, it's preseason. He's looked okay. And I think he's just gonna get better. This kid just turned 19. So give him some time. He'll figure it out. For my guys that didn't play, Anthony Gill, Leaky Black, Malcolm Brogdon, Kira Lewis Jr., and Sadiq Bey. Obviously Gill played barely in the other game against Toronto. Again, he's not here to play. I feel like he's kind of here to be a role model and a mentor. Leaky Black didn't play. Kira Lewis Jr. didn't play. Those are the other two camp invites. Noel was the third. He did play, which was surprising. But I think you'll see more of them later. And then Bey and Brogdon, obviously, Bey's out for a while with the ACL tear. Brogdon's going to miss a couple weeks with that right ligament tear, or that tear, ligament tear in his right thumb. But those were the five guys that didn't play. To kind of summarize and finish off, recap this episode, I thought the Wizards looked the way they looked in Toronto, looked the way they looked much of last season, which is outclassed, outperformed, a team that is just miles behind the competition. And what compounds that is the fact that they hurt themselves. It really wasn't what the Knicks did. The Wizards gave them the ball 30 times. That's 30 turnovers, which just can never happen. It's a clear issue, and it's a clear disconnect between the players. Obviously, they're not trying to do it. But there's can maybe, chemistry needs to be figured out in terms of guys don't know where guys will be, what spots they'll be in. They're passing into one spot and they other guy cuts to another. It's figuring it out. It's preseason. You're gonna have some things to work out, but 30 turnovers is abysmal, no matter preseason, regular season, postseason, any season, fucking winter for all I care. It's not acceptable to turn the ball over 30 times. And for that to happen is concerning. Even for a team that you don't expect to win a lot, even for a team coming off a 15-win season that many don't even expect to win 20 games this year, it's still embarrassing. It's still an issue. It's still something that needs to be resolved before the regular season starts. So hopefully the Wizards use these next three preseason games to figure it out. Because if you enter any game, let alone Boston, on the 24th of October, playing like you did now, I guarantee you're going to lose by 40. I guarantee by the end of the game, it's going to be a sea of green. And I guarantee it's going to be an embarrassing, lopsided loss to start off your year. A long year at that, that's going to be filled with loss after loss after loss. You don't want to start by killing yourself when you just need to figure out how to play together, build that chemistry, grow as a team, a young team at that. But when you're compounding errors, when you're, hurting yourself by turning it over that much, that's not ideal. It's not going to cut it, and that's not what you want from a young team. So again, I'm going to wrap it up here because I can go on a rant about this for forever. But at the end of the day, I thought Keyshawn George was the best player on the floor. He's been the most consistent player throughout two preseason games. Sar double figures again, made another pair of threes, so he looks pretty solid. Not the best showings from Valanciunas, Poole, and Kuzma, which you don't like to see from three of your vets that are supposed to kind of be leading this unit. Bilal struggled shooting. Holmes and Bagley seem to be in that, still in a competition for that backup center spot. There's a lot to kind of pick apart, but that's all I'm going to pick apart for now. I hope you guys are enjoying these recap episodes. I'm enjoying doing them, post game. I'm just kind of getting my thoughts out there. I'm going to keep doing it for the rest of the preseason. I can't promise you that with five games, sometimes a week, that I'm going to be able to do this for the regular season. But at least for preseason, since the games are so spread out, I think it's fun to kind of, recap each game right after the fact. So this is going to be posted on Thursday right after, the game on Wednesday. And again, I hope you guys are enjoying it. It's nice to be back. No matter how bad they play or how many turnovers they have, it's always nice that Wizards basketball is back. Regular season's getting a lot closer. So, really excited about that. Excited about all the coverage, the content, the games upcoming. And appreciate all you guys for following along with me. So again, that's going to do it for this episode. Wiz fall to 0-2 on the preseason. Thanks for listening. Go Wiz.